Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and his train filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty," or Lord of Hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Here he is revealing himself to Isaiah as the Lord Almighty, in the RSV, the Lord of Hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. And there's a twofold picture when God reveals himself as the Lord of Hosts. First, he is the God who draws his people together for worship and praise. He is the gathering one. And then he's the one who reveals himself as Lord of all the earth. Not only Lord of the church, but Lord, though they may not know it, of all peoples on the earth, the sovereign one. But then also the Lord of the whole universe. You see how vast this picture is. The one who brings his people together, the one who rules the whole of humanity, the one who rules the whole of the universe. And he is holy through and through. We find that he's being attended by the seraphim. Now, only here in Scripture are these angelic beings described. They are different from the cherubim, who are described in Scripture as having four wings. The seraphim have here six. And we read they are crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of Hosts." And with two wings they covered their faces. With two wings they covered their feet. And with two wings they flew. And the very temple trembled and was filled with a Shekinah glory. You see how wonderful these creatures are who are worshipping and attending to the Lord of Hosts. These holy ones, the word seraphim means burning ones. They're connected with sanctification rather than redemption. These are the ones who cover their faces as if unworthy to behold him who sits on the throne. These are the ones who cover their feet as though they're unworthy to stand in his presence. And these are the ones who fly speedily at his command, swift to to obey. What a tremendous upward vision Isaiah is given on that occasion. And the question is, what is our vision of God today? What is your vision individually? What is my vision? Is our God too small? What is our vision of God as a church? Do we see him as the high and lofty one, the holy one? Do we see him as the one who is Lord of his people, Lord of the universe, Lord of all the world? How big is our God today? And do we need a fresh vision of God for today? Do we need, individually and as a church, a fresh upward vision of God on the throne? Well, Isaiah could not, as it were, receive such a vision without there being a corresponding inward vision. As the hymn says, they who fain would serve him best are conscious most of wrong within. He had this tremendous inward vision, and he cries, "Woe is me, I am undone, ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Repentance is not a sign that God is far away. If there's a sense in our hearts this morning of uncleanness in any area of our lives, with Isaiah it was his lips. We're not told specifically what that meant, but that was where he felt unclean in the things he was saying, perhaps. Well, wherever we're feeling unclean, God is there to bring cleansing. And feeling spiritually unclean, as I say, is not a sign that God is far away from you, but that God is near. Because whilst Isaiah was experiencing this profound inner revelation of himself, God was there in the temple, so close. So be encouraged. And then we read, "Then flew one of the seraphim, and he took with tongs a coal from the living altar, and he put it in his hand, and he touched the lips of Isaiah." First of all, then flew one of the seraphim. Swift repentance will always bring swift cleansing. I would encourage us to keep short accounts with God. If we are conscious that there's something wrong in our lives today, don't wait till this afternoon to put it right with God. Do it now. Keep short accounts. There's always a blessing when we keep short accounts and we seek cleansing straight away. And notice that the seraphim went to the altar, but took the living coal from the altar with tongs. We see a picture of them unworthy to behold him, unworthy to stand in his presence. But here we see they are unworthy to even touch the coal of fire on the altar. They take it with tongs before they put it into their own hands. And then the seraphim applies that living coal to the lips of Isaiah. "This has touched your lips. Your sin is taken away. Your sin is covered." God touches us and heals us and cleanses us in that very area where we know we need cleansing. So with Isaiah. And then the outward vision. after the upward vision and the inward vision of cleansing, then I heard the voice of the Lord God saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Now perhaps the Trinity is implied in the word us. Perhaps it is. I wouldn't be too pressing on that. But the moment Isaiah hears that call, he says, here am I, send me. Now this is a remarkable and profound statement from this young prophet. Why? Well, Moses, that great man of God, standing at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, needed to be encouraged, persuaded, urged, and his mission explained before he would go forward for God. Jonah needed to be called twice, and the mission explained, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Jonah had to have his mission explained before he went. Jeremiah pleaded his youthfulness and needed to be encouraged to take the mission that God was showing him. Moses, Jonah, and Jeremiah all needed to know what God was asking them to do before they did it. Isaiah didn't. Isaiah immediately responded. Before he knew what God was going to ask him to do, he said, here am I, send me. Not here are my gifts, here are my talents, here is my time. Simply, here am I. Simply me. Here am I. Send me. And that's why this saying, this declaration of Isaiah is so profound. Because he said it before he knew what God was going to ask him to do. In closing, have we caught the upward vision? How big is our God today? Have we experienced a deeper inner cleansing that comes with catching that upward vision? And if we have, are we ready for that outward vision where God is saying, you've seen me, I've called you, I've cleansed you, are you ready to go for me and share the gospel with all those around the church today? There is an estate out there. And wouldn't it be great if one of the problems we had was that we couldn't find seats for everyone to sit in? That if they didn't get here 10, 15 minutes before the services began, it would be standing room only. Wouldn't that be great? There is an estate out there. There's a world out there waiting to hear the gospel. Let's ask our Lord to grant us a fresh upward vision. Let's ask him to give us grace to receive the inward vision of cleansing. And let's ask him for grace to put into operation the outward vision and go out there and proclaim the gospel to a very needy people. We ask this, don't we? In Jesus' name. Amen.